Good morning. This is Rochester Speaks. I'm Kevin Gillen. Thank you for joining us. During the summer of 2015, Vice President Biden announced that Rochester would be the home of a federal manufacturing institute for photonics. But now the honeymoon is over and the initial sheen has worn off. So what's the latest on what the future holds for photonics in the Flower City? We are joined this morning by Executive Director of New York Photonics and Executive Director for the Rochester Regional Photonics Cluster, Tom Batley. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Did I get that right? Both titles are yours?
Yes, I'm a man of many hats, I suppose.
And where are you from originally? I forget.
I grew up in Redondo Beach, California.
Okay.
But Rochester has been my home for over 40 years. I love it here. The work I do, as I was telling you earlier, because I love this community and I want to leverage the strategic advantage we have in this industry, optics, photonics, and imaging.
So what is photonics?
Probably the best way to explain it to you is the fact that it's already pervasive in everyone's lives. So if photonics is the transmission and capture of light, an example of that would be in CD players and DVD players. They use lasers to capture that information. So that's a light-based industry using lasers. All the images that people now transmit using their phones, you know, the number of images continues to grow exponentially every year. From the time digital photography began until now, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. That's all made possible by optics and photonics. The little lenses in your camera and the little sensors in your camera and the display in your camera on your phone, that's all optics and photonics technology. So it continues to be incredibly sophisticated. It includes tremendous breakthroughs in biomedical technology, kind of at the macro level and the nano level. It also includes a good bit of what creates the microchips, microprocessors that also pervade our lives in cell phones, in desktop computers, in tablets, and things like that. There's a CPU in there. There are multiple chips in those devices. And the process of making those chips in what is known as a fab, fabrication center, manufacturing center, a great deal of that depends on optics and photonics. So it's very sophisticated stuff. If anybody ever wants to be truly amazed, take a high-powered optic, you know, a magnifier or a loop, something like that, and look at a microchip. It continues to amaze me how sophisticated those devices are and the fact that we take them all for granted today. The technology behind that is so sophisticated.
Fiber optics kind of in that same family?
Fiber optics is right in there. When you make a phone call, whether you're using a mobile device or your computer or a landline, at some point it is being transmitted through fiber optics. And that is a conversion of an analog signal. You might identify as the signal that your listeners are listening to through a speaker. It converts it to digital, and that digital stream is transmitted over light and then reconverted to analog so that we can get the message.
Right. So among other companies and organizations, the Department of Defense has a big stake in photonics, right?
We met recently. Congresswoman Slaughter brought the Undersecretary for the Department of Defense Supply Chain and Manufacturing, Adele Ratcliffe, to Rochester. And she met with some of our members, and we were gratified that she realized that a significant portion of the Department of Defense supply chain in optics and photonics is represented in Rochester. So many of our members do work at some level with either contractors or directly with the Department of Defense or do research for the Department of Defense. So as much as those optics and photonics and imaging devices have permeated our lives as citizens, they've also permeated the world of the warfighter and unmanned aerial vehicles and things like that.
Drones even, maybe?
Oh, very much so, drones. In fact, RIT just made that announcement about their partnership with the Property Drone Consortium. And those are primarily led by insurance companies, but hot on their heels are companies like, you know, Amazon and people like that who want to deliver products to you using what people call as drones.
Right.
The insurance industry is interested because without endangering a human being by sending them up a ladder or hanging them off a rope or something. They can do very sophisticated inspections of rooftops and towers at a high rise like this. They can look at the windows and the window seals. They can look at the roof and they can decide if something needs to be repaired or what it looked like before it was damaged.
I've seen where farming is going to be using drones just to observe their property, what's going on, what's right about it.
I was judging a startup competition at the biggest photonics conference in the United States this past February called Photonics West. It's held in San Francisco. And one of the companies was a company just like that. They use machine intelligence and they use sensors and optics on unmanned aerial vehicles. And they work with farmers and they take pictures of the fields, but then they look at them in different wavelengths of light than what we see with our eyes. They can tell what the sugar content is in grapes. They can tell whether a certain crop is healthy or not. And they can identify the weather characteristics and include machine intelligence to give feedback to farmers to improve farming techniques. It's part of what people may have heard of is they call it IoT, the Internet of Things. It's happening so rapidly that all of these intelligence devices that we have are all connected somehow to the internet. The backbone of the internet is light-based, and it continues to get more and more sophisticated. And that, in fact, is what is driving the need with the DoD for AIM Photonics, which is what was announced last year.
Rochester, now the headquarters of the American Institute for Manufacturing Integrated Photonics, which you said AIM Photonics, actually have a headquarter location now, right, in the former Bausch & Lomb building, kind of ironic.
I don't know if anyone is in there right now. I think most of what's going on right now is research and development. At this stage, I don't think a headquarters is needed, but it's nice to have a high-profile, Class A location when you recruit companies to the area, meet with companies to the area, and showcase what Rochester has to offer. In combination with AIM Photonics, if we're trying to do some economic development and recruitment, it's great to have a sophisticated office space, and I couldn't be happier that they chose something downtown.
Right, and you guys kind of have a deadline, right, of July 2017. That is kind of when the site of the manufacturing, they call it the TAP, Testing Assembly and Packaging Facility, is supposed to be built, up and running, none of the above.
Right, the board of directors for AIM Photonics approved a budget of over $100 million, and what that is a parts list, a buying list of what the researchers have decided will be needed to have a sophisticated, up-and-running test assembly and packaging facility. A year ago, when this announcement was made, we won a competition. And that competition had been going on a couple of years. That team that was chosen as the winner is in an international competition. So the United States and the Department of Defense are in an international competition for who is going to be able to ramp up and begin developing, packaging, and producing these extremely sophisticated devices as soon as possible. And if you and I, Kevin, were given a $600 million budget, and incidentally, I don't think that's a lot of money in this kind of investment. Typically, the companies that pursue things like this, countries that invest in the billions of dollars to pursue this kind of development. But if you and I had been given a $600 million budget a year ago and said you have 5 years, as you said, to get a device produced that manufacturers can use, that companies can say, I want a device that does this, give me the tools to design it, we would be very happy with the progress that has been made so far. So a year ago, all we had was a plan that won the competition. Within a year, this group of people had to self-organize, decide who was the best at doing what, had to identify what the research particulars are, the most important research areas, had to vet that with the most intelligent and advanced scientists working in the field today, and get those proposals funded, up and running, and decided what the parts list is for a test assembly and packaging facility. And to do all of that in a year, that's huge. And what is also great for our region is they hired a local guy who knows the industry, who knows the players, who has Rochester and Rochester's manufacturing industry in his heart. They made a good move when they hired Ed White to be the director of business development, and he's from the Rochester region.
Now, is this going to be a steadfast deadline for next July? Is it the possibility that this deadline will be pushed back? What's kind of the minimum that needs to be done by July of 2017?
I just saw a press release from AIM Photonics that they made to the observing and participating members. So the people who have signed agreements with AIM Photonics to observe what's going on and to participate in the development, they just announced that they have a suite of design tools. So what that means is to a company that wants to create an internet-ready integrated photonics device that has more photons than electrons in it, there is a suite of tools to begin doing that. So people can start designing devices and say, this is critical for a product that I want to roll out 18 months from now, and they begin designing for that.
So you need the location, though. Is there still about maybe three different locations for the facility?
Yeah, there are a number of good locations in the region. It's a place that has to have a sophisticated clean room and air handling and easy parking and transportation, and there are a number of good locations for that in Rochester, and thankfully, I'm not in the real estate decision-making part of any of this.
Right, but this facility is going to be where the jobs that were kind of talked about last year, where they're really going to be created.
I think in terms of the jobs around producing integrated photonics devices, yes, but there could be other jobs affiliated with that. Supporters, suppliers, companies that locate here because they want to be near the place where the products are being developed. There was an all-institute meeting held here. I wish that your listeners could hear those presentations that were given, because the first afternoon, the compelling reason why these devices need to be up and running within the next 5 years could not have been laid out more clearly.
Hmm.
And the easiest way for a typical person who's, you know, not sophisticated about the technology, but is very interested in the technology, wants to know how it is going to touch their lives. One of the presentations said that internet traffic across the globe is expected to triple by 2019.
Hmm.
So I don't know what that means to someone at your local barbecue this summer, but let's say they're all streaming movies on Netflix and they have cable TV and they got rid of their landline and they want to be transmitting their phone calls over their home modem, which is sending it over fiber. All of that is expected to triple worldwide in the next 3 years. And that means that the backbone of the internet is going to have to go from 3.6 terabytes to 14 terabytes by 2019.
But photonics technology would help that immensely. With photonics in place, wouldn't buffering almost be a thing of the past?
Could be a thing of the past. So you look at that and you say, where is the bottleneck? Assuming we have fiber optic, if we're in a country like South Korea, everybody has fiber to their door. And that is what casually we might say a big pipe. So that means it can accept, transmit, and accept large volumes of data. But where are the bottlenecks? The bottlenecks are in the server farms where, you know, you have hundreds, if not thousands of servers that are generating more heat than they are transmitting information, because they have to convert that digital signal to electrons when they hit the microchip level. It's the same thing with your phone. When your phone starts to get hot in your pocket, maybe it's processing information as electrons. If we could only be processing it as photons, it could handle the bandwidth, it could be much more efficient, and there'd be much less heat generated. And on the desktop, in your home, and in the devices that accept that information using fiber, we want to get rid of the electrons and replace them with photons wherever possible. And that's where these integrated photonics devices are going to go. And that's why it's so important to not only Intel and Facebook and Google, but also to the DoD.
So in the first year, pretty much behind the scenes stuff, planning and negotiations, and you said you're happy with that. Everything's moving along at a nice pace.
Anybody that has ever started a business from scratch, even a small business, knows that, you know, the first year is critical. And I think they've they've done everything right, and they're about to release funding for the first major R&D projects, which is the major thing that is necessary. The U.S. people who are the smartest in this technology are all working on this together. It's a feel-good story.
And in the next year, again, you got that July 2017 deadline for the TAP facility. That's when the jobs will come. And then some other companies might be kind of moving to Rochester just to be close to this photonics hub.
It is just too good an opportunity to pass up. It is an economic developer's dream. If you've ever been on an airplane and had a stranger sitting next to you say, "Where are you from?" and you say Rochester, New York, invariably they kind of frown with sympathy and say, "Oh God, that's got to be tough, you know, Kodak." Well, I can tell you that when we go to these conferences around the world, people now say, when they say, "Where are you from?" I say Finger Lakes region, Rochester, New York. They say, "Wow, I am amazed at how much is going on in Rochester in optics, photonics, and imaging." So this is such a good opportunity. Every economic development organization, it's the brass ring. You can't get any better than this. The name recognition is there. The identification with the fact that the governor has built this throughway corridor of photonics development and high-tech development. You know, whether you agree with the investments or not, it's something that we have, and people around the world have noticed it. So it's too good not to take advantage of.
And two, as you stated last year, it's important to get young people interested in pursuing careers in optics and photonics. So if they study locally, they wouldn't have far to go.
I was at East High School, where their optics manufacturing program, 10 students just finished a 3-week immersion in optical fabrication. They have the equipment to make and measure optics that were polished to the 10th wave. The 10th wave is professional grade results. And these are students at East High School in the Rochester City School District who are going into 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade. So these are 15, 16, and 17-year-olds.
RIT and the U of R already have had significant roles in Rochester's photonics future.
And MCC has the only optical system technology program that also, incidentally, teaches photonics in the country. There are maybe one or two others, but the one in Arizona never has any enrollments, so it's just on the books. MCC's is currently at record enrollment. And for a family or a student that is looking to get an advanced degree, doing a 2+2 degree, going to MCC for optics and photonics, and then matriculating to the University of Rochester or RIT is kind of a hard deal to beat.
And then you could maybe have your career in photonics right here in Rochester.
There are people who own companies in Rochester, and they started with a 2-year degree from MCC.
The photonics future for Rochester is pretty bright.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Once again, we thank Executive Director of New York Photonics and Executive Director for the Rochester Regional Photonics Cluster, Tom Batley.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me.